Amen. All right. Open your Bibles up to Proverbs chapter 4, and we're going to continue on with our study on faith. And now, I'm going to lead you down a rabbit trail that got my butt warmed up a lot when I was in school. But you should practice the art of daydreaming. You should practice the art of daydreaming. I'm going to tell you something. Faith sees the answer. But you're going to have to practice daydreaming. You're going to have to practice thinking about this. You know, what is your goal? And you're going to have to see yourself. What would it be like to be healed? What would you look like healed? What would you do as a healed person? Faith sees the answer. So you're going to have to get your imagination in gear and see yourself healed. What would you do as a prosperous man? What are some of the things that you would try to accomplish if you had money in your pocket? Faith sees the answer. Here's another interesting little thing you can do. When you're reading in the Gospels, and you start seeing these stories about Jesus, I mean, they're truths, but you start seeing where Jesus encountered people. I'll give you one I was thinking about. Jesus was preaching on a mountain. And he was preaching to all these people. And these people could hear him all over. Well, on this trail coming down this mountain, there's rocks that have little undercuts under these rocks. And they're just big enough for a man to hide in. Well, Jesus was up there preaching. And he started down this mountain. He didn't go directly to the people. He went out of his way because there was a leper that was under this rock. And this leper had put himself in peril because he believed what he heard Jesus say. He said, this is my chance to be healed. Now, he knew that if he had got caught out in that area, they could stone him legally according to the law, and they would. But he jumped out from underneath that rock, and he said, Jesus, if you will, thou can make me clean. And Jesus laid his hand on him and said, I will, be thou clean. And the man was healed of his leprosy and made whole that very same hour. Isn't that a wonderful picture? Jesus went out of his way. See, when you see him in his grace and mercy, he's going to see you in faith. And he's going to go out of his way to make sure that you get to your goal. Praise God. Isn't that cool? By continually looking at the word, faith sees the answer. That's how you're going to get the vision. You're going to find, remember, in order to have a goal, you got to have some kind of volition. You have some reason to have this goal. And it's usually pressure from the dark side. You know, if you need money, it's poverty. That's pressure from the dark side. If you need healing, it's sickness. That's pressure from the dark side. There's something from the dark side, putting pressure on you to cause you to seek an answer. You're going to find your answer in the Word. Remember, every time there's something wrong, it's because there has already been something made right and established in the Word of God. Amen. Always remember this. There was no curse until Satan stole the blessing from Adam and twisted it and made the curse. So there was already something right before there was something wrong. Amen? Now, in our past lesson on faith, we found out, you know, we've been learning that faith is not something which we have as much as it is something which we do. You know, faith is a reaction to grace. Did you know that? Faith is a reaction to grace. When you find out the wonderful things that Jesus done for you, done to you, is doing for you, and who He is, you have a natural pull to that. And it causes you to do something different. Amen? That's, faith is more of a reaction than it is, you know. If you hang around the Word of Faith circles long enough, you're going to end up in a position where you're trying to build up your faith, and you're focused on your faith, and you get so focused on your faith that you cause your own stumbling blocks. You're so preoccupied with your own faith that you make it hard on yourself instead of looking at the cross, which is where you're supposed to look, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, and seeing Him in His grace. When you start seeing Him in His grace, faith is going to happen to you. Amen? Now, we've seen that faith is not hoping that we will see the answer in the future, but faith is believing that we have the answer now. The eyes of faith see the answer as having already happened. That's where this daydreaming comes. That's the eyes of faith. You're going to have to see yourself with the answer. It's not enough just to look at that and say, okay, I want it. See, you're going to have to meditate on that word. That's saying it. But it's not about memorization, it's about getting in your heart. But also, you got to start visualizing the answer. Start seeing yourself with the answer. Start seeing it. What would you do if you had it? How would it feel? Where would you go? Start saying things like that. How cool would it be if you had the answer? See what I'm talking about? You're going to daydream the answer. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto thy sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." Now, there's a lot of stuff in those three little scriptures. Notice he said, "Let my words not depart from thine eyes." See, a lot of people fail because they see themselves as failing. See, we're going to talk about some of this on Sunday. Remember we talked, the first question I asked was, how Christian are you? And then the second question I asked is, how Christian is your God? And then the third question I asked is, how do you see yourself? That's important. That's an important question that you need to ask yourself. How do you really see yourself? I'm not talking about how others see you. I'm not talking about maybe how you perceive people see you. I'm talking about how you see yourself. See, it's important to locate ourselves. If we're going to walk in faith, we're going to have to know who we are, whose we are. Amen? We're going to have to know what authority we have. We're going to have to know a few things. And how you see yourself is very important. I'll give you a little clue. There's a lot of religious folks running around saying that they're sinners saved by grace. Well, you can't be both. You're either a sinner that needs to be born again, or you are the righteousness of God that is saved by grace. You're no longer a sinner. Once you cross that threshold, you're no longer a sinner. You may be a saint that occasionally sins, but you no longer are a sinner. You are a saint. Amen? The words of your mouth are very important. This is going to draw a picture of how you see yourself. You should never, ever talk down about yourself. You should never, ever let the devil put words in your mouth to describe yourself. Amen? I'm not talking about walking around in pride either. I'm talking about walking around in true Bible humility. True Bible humility is agreeing with the Word. Finding what the Bible says about you and saying, okay, that's me. You know, one of the hardest scriptures for me to get out of my mouth for a while and into my heart is I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That was hard for me to say. But then I understood what the blood did. See, once you do that, once you understand it's about Him and what He did, then it's something we have to accept by faith. Amen? Too many people fail because they see themselves as failing. See, this is why you're going to daydream. I don't care what you do. You're going to daydream. You're going to daydream. You got this fine-tuned thinking machine up here that's going to not stop moving. And you're going to be thinking about something. You just as well be thinking about God's creative plan for your life. I mean, you're going to have to get control of your soul. So you have to feed on the Word of God so that you can get control of this thing. Amen? In case you didn't know, when you got born again, it was your spirit that got born again. The Bible tells us we have to have our minds renewed to the Word of God. Amen? See, there's a lot of people that get born again, and for a certain period of time, it could be a few months, it could be a few years, they're still crazier than a raccoon. You know, they're still like that guy. You know, people sat there and looked at him and said, I seen him say the sinner's prayer, and I even seen him get dunked in water. And he's still crazier than Cooter Brown. He's born again, and that might be the only thing that he knows. He believes in his heart that God raised Jesus back to life, and he confessed with his mouth that Jesus is Lord. And it might take him a little bit to get calmed down and get some word in him so he can start getting control of this thing. It's a process. Did you know redemption is kind of a messy process? I've never caught a clean fish, have you? Okay, there's not been a clean Christian come walking through this door. Other than the blood, there's still a process God's going to take them through. They've been washed clean from their sins, and now God's going to have to take them forward grace by grace as they renew their mind. Amen? Sometimes people see themselves sick. They think of themselves as dying. God's word says that Jesus himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. If that word does not depart from your eyes, you're bound to see yourself without sickness and without disease. You will see yourself as well. If, however, you do not see yourself as without sickness, then that word has departed from before your eyes. And even though he wants to make a health a reality in your life, he cannot, because you are not acting on his word. One of the most annoying things to me is doctors giving people a certain number of days. Like, who are you, God? This guy went to you for some kind of health advice and you said, you got 90 days, go get your affairs in order. Who do you think you are? And I'll tell you why it annoys me so much is because people buy into a hook, line, and sinker. And it's such a fear dart that gets down deep inside of them. And sometimes it's really hard to get them out of it, if you can get them out of it. Some people, you tell them 60 days, it's almost to the date they check out. It's because somebody told them that. And they just bought into it. And it's almost like they hurry the process up. It doesn't have to be that way. God knows your days. And he said, with a long life will he satisfy you and show you his salvation. See, this is why it's important to not let his word depart from your heart. Keep them before your eyes. Notice in verse 22, it says, my words are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. The Hebrew word translated there, health, here is also the word for medicine. God's word is medicine to you. In other words, my words are medicine to all their flesh. The first two verses of this passage tell us the directions for taking this medicine. These directions are, number one, attend unto or study God's word and obey his word. Keep them in the midst of your heart. And you're going to look at his word. You know, I find it curious. Somebody goes to the doctor and the doctor says, you got the Mongolian toe warts. And you got exactly 45 days to live. Unless you take this medicine. You take this medicine at 6 o'clock with one egg. And noon with a piece of toast. And 6 o'clock with two eggs. You know what people will do? They'll take that medicine at 6 o'clock with one egg, at noon with toast, 6 o'clock with two eggs, like clockwork. They'll take the words of a man over the words of God. Christians do this all the time. Well, God said, don't let my word depart from before your eyes. Why? Because he knows what's good for you. Did you know, by the way, he created you? He made you. He knows how you tick. He knows everything about you. He knows how to fix you. And this is one of the things he said. This is proper fuel for your body. Now, what is God's medicine? He says, my words are life unto those that find them, and medicine to all their flesh. But the medicine has to be taken according to directions in order to work. One of the directions is, let my words not depart from before thine eyes. Keep looking at what the word says. Keep looking at the word says. But the doctor says, keep looking at what the word says. But the doctor says this, keep looking at what the word says. Keep looking at the word. That's your answer. There's a little guy running around here that was told he had 3 months and just go get his affairs dealt with. So he decided he was going to move into his friend's cabin and just that was going to be the end of it. But little did he know, his friend came and told me about that, and I said, well, gee whiz, let's just make us a prayer cloth. So we made us a prayer cloth. And I said, don't tell him about it. Don't give him a chance to get into doubt and unbelief. Just let it happen. So he put that. And 2 years later, the little guy is still running around, doing whatever he wants to do, going wherever he wants to go. You know, the guy came to me one day and he said, this is like 9 months after he got here, and he said, he's flourishing. I said, well, praise God. That was the game plan, wasn't it? I finally got to meet that little guy. That was pretty neat. You know. God's word is medicine to their flesh. The Bible tells us that God sent his word and it healed them. Amen? Now, as believers, we're to meditate on his word and see ourselves with these answers. Get a picture of it in your heart. Too many people pray and pray, but they never see themselves with the answer. They just see everything getting worse. They keep looking at the wrong thing. They look at the symptoms, at conditions, at themselves. So they walk in unbelief and destroy the effects of their praying. Get your mind on the answer. See yourself as having received. Constantly affirm, even in the face of contradictory evidence, that God has heard your prayer because the Word says so. That's when you'll get results. You have to believe you got it before you can receive it. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. The believing comes before the receiving. There are those that try to say, I'm going to believe. I'm not going to believe anything I can't see. They're not going to see it. In the natural, we believe a lot of things that we can't see. The whole world became alarmed when atomic bombs were being exploded, releasing radioactive material into the atmosphere. You can't see it or feel it, but it's a destructive power nonetheless. You can't see electricity moving down the lines. But you have faith when you go turn that switch, light's going to happen. Get the word in your mouth so you can get it in your ears. Remember how you got born again? You believed in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life. and then you confess with your mouth what you believe. You believed it, and then you said it. Everything else is going to come the same way. You get hit with the problem, you find the answer in the Bible, you meditate on that, and you start getting a picture of that in your mind, in your heart, so you can see it with your eye of faith. Remember, we're talking about seeing with our eye of faith. That's how you're doing it. You're daydreaming this. You're looking at it. You're saying it with your heart, but you're using Scripture that God gave you, His medicine for you, and you're using this to change your reality. Now, it may be a natural fact that you might not have two pennies to rub together, but you find in the Bible where God said that He would meet all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And you find in the Bible where you know the grace of your Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor. And you, through His poverty, have been made rich. And you start meditating on those Scriptures. And you start seeing yourself with the answer. Not figuring out how God's going to do it. See, this is the thing. We know who? That's God. We know how? By grace. People are always trying to figure out the briefcase. It's none of your business. If God chooses to send somebody down that street wrapped in a white robe on a camel and a sack full of money, if that's how He chooses to meet your need, then so be it. It's none of your business. It's the who and the how. That's all you need to worry about. Yeah? The who and the how. And it's seeing yourself with that answer. That'll cause joy to come in your heart. And you praise God. Remember, Jesus gave us the biggest clue when He was at the tomb of Lazarus. He said, "Thank you, Father, for hearing my prayers." You know, Jesus thanked His way into a miracle right there. I don't know what He prayed up there on that mountain before He got down to that tomb, but He thanked God. When you start thanking God for what He's already giving you, you'll bring that from the supernatural into the natural, and you'll change your universe. Amen. You'll change your whole area. You'll change your life. Amen. Well, we better stop on that scripture. Thank you, Father, for this. We thank you for your words. We thank you for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and everything that He did for us in His death, burial, and His resurrection. Father, we thank you for the shed blood of Jesus that has cleansed us from all sin. We thank you for that shed blood of Jesus that has qualified us for every single promise. And we thank you for that shed blood of Jesus that continually protects us and continually cleanses us from all sin. Father, we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.